Aaron's budded rod. Behold, the rod of Aaron for the house of Levi was budded, and brought forth buds, and bloomed blossoms, and yielded almonds. Numbers chapter 17 and verse 8. God's new works are always so interesting and so full of instruction. Here we see a dry stick, a withered rod, cut off from its parent life-giving tree, breaking forth into bud and blossom and fruit, and all in a single night. On the return of the spies from the land of Canaan, and the evil report of the ten, because the cities were walled, the men, they said, were as giants, and the Lord's people as grasshoppers, by comparison, rebellion arises, and blasphemy defiles the tongues of his own redeemed ones. Thus they turn from the land of promise, and wander almost another 38 years in a waste, howling wilderness, and suffer darkness and war and dismal days because of their distrust. And out of this turning back arises Korah's rebellion as he disputes the leadership of Moses and thus challenges God's authority. It is Aaron's priesthood which is challenged, and this test was to put an end to such murmuring and put an end to them forever. Now this brings wrath from God upon Korah and his family, and the first earthquake is recorded. When we read, the ground clave asunder that was under them, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up. Numbers chapter 16 and verse 31. That is God's judgment upon Korah's rebellion when he challenged the priesthood which God had established through Moses. But even this table judgment does not cure rebellious hearts. And once again a plague mows them down, and many are slain of the Lord. Moses now commands Aaron to take incense from the altar and stand between the living and the dead. Thus Aaron is a mediating priest, high priest. And in this office, he becomes a type of God's beloved son. God's wrath is checked. It is at this point we see the miracle of the budded rod. When we look first of all at Aaron's rod, each chief ruler of Israel, that is, each chief ruler of the 12 tribes of Israel, is to take a rod. Probably the rod was an ensign of their princely office and dignity, peculiar to each tribe. Or maybe, as others think, that these rods were freshly cut from the same almond tree. All from one and the same tree. The rod is to bear the name of each. And then the rods are to be deposited before the Ark of the Covenant. And so there would be 12 rods, maybe plus one for Aaron, in all 13. Aaron's rod had no special place. That is, it was not put nearest to the Shekinah glory, which would make some suspect, if near the Shekinah glory or divine majesty, that it was unduly affected by nearness. No. Aaron's rod was simply put among the others. Now, when Moses enters in the morning, the rods lie as they had been. That is, the rods from the 12 tribes of Israel. Dead and withered. But Aaron's rod is marvelously changed. There is blossom and bud and flower upon it. And something that it had put forth leaves first, contrary to the nature of the almond tree. And so makes the miracle greater. There was everything from bud to ripe almond in their full perfection. It is a miracle, you see, of resurrection life. It is a work no hand of man could accomplish. And this budded rod is to be laid up in the ark as a perpetual witness against all rebels. Chapter 17 and verse 10. That was an end to any challenge of Aaron's priesthood. Now this rod, budded rod, exhibits Christ. The dry rod made denote the meanness of his descent and appearance in this world. And the unpromising aspect of his being the King, the Messiah, and the Savior of men. Being an almond rod may also point to his speedy incarnation in the fullness of time, which the Lord hastened. His being firstborn, and his right to the priesthood, and his vigilance in the priesthood. The lying among the rods, and budding and blossoming and bringing forth fruit, may point at our Lord assuming the common nature of man, his being cut off by death, his resurrection from the dead, and the fruits arising from his resurrection. As Aaron's priesthood was conferred by this budding, so the deity and the messiahship and the priesthood of Christ are confirmed by his resurrection. Hebrews 9 and verse 4. I say the rod exhibits Christ, as was said by Isaiah. There shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. Isaiah 11 and verse 1. God's manifest choice of Aaron's rod meant the rejection of all other rivals. Aaron proved to be God's manifest choice, and he was a figure of Christ to come in this matter. Christ alone is God's chosen high priest of his redeemed people. Only in the Lord Jesus Christ do high priestly functions flourish. His glory can be shared with none other. They who seek it end in God's fierce judgment, as did Korah. The Lord Jesus alone is God's priest, and woe to any who would dare to snatch that office from him. Now look at the budding of the rod. In nature, decay and death lie heavily upon everything. All here below is doomed to wither and to die. Not so that which springs forth from God's rod, Jesus Christ our Lord, the blossom, the bud, the fruit, on Aaron's rod were never to fail. Its beauty was a never-failing beauty. And all that was true of Aaron's rod was but a beautiful picture of the perpetual priesthood of our Savior. Thou art a priest forever. Psalm 110 and verse 4. This man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Hebrews 7 verse 24. How comforting to the hearts of believers this is. We often mourn because of our coldness and listlessness. We find it difficult at times even to open our mouths in praise and worship, though we should be ashamed to confess it. But in our great high priest, there is nothing but a full flow of meditating grace. Surely, our very survival in this hostile world, we owe to his constant and prevailing intercession. We are where we are in the heavenly way and in the distance we have come in our pilgrimage because of our Lord's prayers and works on our behalf. O blessed God, all ye saints, for the rod of Jesse. What a lesson this is too in the application of his grace to our hearts. We were once as those sapless, withered rods. What use are such but to be burned up and devoured by fire? For God's people have come to life in his dear Son. With the impartation of his resurrection life, we have become alive. And this is surely the work of God. Only divine power could effect such a miracle. And look at the fullness of life in God's budded rod. Then surely we must not forget to examine ourselves and measure ourselves not with one another, which is not wise, but with our Lord and his transcendent beauty and inexhaustible fullness. Does our life blossom? Is there much fruit on our little rod? Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples, John 15, verse 8. That can only be as we heed our Lord's admonition. Abide in me and I in you. If a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. John 15, verse 4. Let us be renewed this day in our love for our dear Savior, and so love and meditate in his word, that we shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in its season. His leaf also shall not wither. Psalm 1 and verse 3. Now listen to the words of Mr. Johann Schutz. Sing praise to God who reigns above, the God of all creation, the God of power, the God of love, the God of our salvation. With healing balm my soul he fills, and every faithless murmur stills. To God all praise and glory. What God's almighty power hath made, his gracious mercy keepeth. By morning glow or evening shade, his watchful eye ne'er sleepeth. Within the kingdom of his might, lo, all is just and all is right. To God all praise and glory. Thus all my toilsome days along, thus all my toilsome way along, I sing aloud his praises, that men may hear the grateful song my voice unwearied raises. Be joyful in the Lord my heart, he leads his own, his chosen band. To God all praise and glory. Oh, amen. Wonderful word. Amen.